I get a good snappy snap. No, it's still not good. There we go. Welcome to the show. Please subscribe and comment and like and tell all your friends. I'm Corey Castle, and guess what? I'm joined by Ben Bishop.
Unmute. Corey, how are you? Thank you for having me on Evolving with Yourself. Very excited to be here. I had to get the purple lighting for you because I see that's kind of the color scheme, match.
So. Oh yeah.
Exactly. You're welcome.
I love the you know, like sometimes when you're in a tag team with somebody, you gotta like get gear that matches.
You gotta get the matching gear.
You wanted to be a part of this team. I get it. I love it.
It's all about presentation. I got the beanie on too, like you have. So hey, we're already rocking and rolling here. 30 seconds in.
I was thinking about because I saw some clips of the Meat Pop show, and you guys had the cool shades on.
We rock the shades. These are fake pit vipers. They're not real pit vipers. These are the cheap kind, but these are the what made them famous. Pit vipers are the famous brand. Like, you know, Kleenex is the famous tissue brand. Pit vipers are the, and I'll keep them on. I'll stay in gimmick here. I'll keep them on. But yeah, no, this is, these are our thing. You know, we just got to keep the shades on, man. Cause the sun never sets on a cool guy. That's our motto.
I just got these today. And
say what you got. What do you got?
They're not the pit viper fakes, but they're like
okay, all right. No, those are good. I like those. Okay, they get the
Tyler Durden-esque.
Yes, very much, very much. I like them.
So we'll I'll keep
you look
these
like
on.
You look like an aspiring Hollywood director, a filmmaker, I should say, a filmmaker.
Yes, I am. Inspiring filmmaker.
You love the theater.
Not the Hollywood type. Not the type who's gonna.
Oh, not the hot. No,
maybe on the casting couch or any of that.
No, yeah, off Broadway type. You know,
yeah. The podcasting couch.
The podcasting couch. That's a good name for a podcast.
For sure,
casting couch.
I wouldn't be surprised if that already existed.
It probably does. There's a podcast for everything. I mentioned there is a porn review podcast somewhere.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've probably been talking about it a lot too on the shows. But the amount of times people go like, oh, I won't start a podcast because there's so many podcasts out there. And people always bring up how many podcasts that there are out there and how that is the thing that prevents them from ever getting it started. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think to me, the idea of there being a lot of podcasts out there is a lot of people start podcasts and then never keep going with them. Once they don't get the results that they immediately want, like you got to realize like you're not going viral in your first podcast unless you're already somebody that everybody knows who they are.
Exactly. No, and this is something that we've had Chris Van Vliet on our podcast, the Meat Pop Express folks, follow, subscribe, all the engagement. And he said, like, you know, I went my first 2 years with like, you know, not like getting, you know, 15, 20, 30 views on videos. Like I wasn't getting 50,000, 100,000, 200,000 views on videos my first few years. Like it takes time. And that's the thing. Like, I don't want to start a podcast because everybody has one. Everybody started somewhere, especially, you know, the ones that like you can call it the quote unquote no name people that like didn't have a cachet behind them or didn't have any fame. You know, they had to start somewhere. And it wasn't like everybody was tuning in day one. You know, you just gotta, and that's the thing. It's all about, you know, in any type of like entertainment industry, it's all about who stays. It's about talent, but it's also about persistence. You gotta be persistent. You gotta understand, like, okay, wow, you know, this video only did 40 views on this podcast. So yeah, you know, but hey, maybe next week we'll do better. Maybe next. Look at that drum on the bongo.
The drum represents consistency. So I beat the drum when I come to the ring. And before each podcast, I beat the drum. It has to do with staying consistent. And
there you go.
And this stuff that I'm doing, the messages that I'm putting out are more sacred to me. Mm. And it doesn't matter about the numbers because, man, I've been doing my podcast. I started it in 2017.
It's amazing.
And I still get some where only like two people listen to it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is not going to stop me. It's like, I'm not doing it for the numbers. I mean, it'd be cool if I got them. It'd be cool if I could like actually make money off of it, but I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because like, I feel like this kind of content, these kind of conversations, these kind of like interactions with people can have value, not only to other people, but to me. So like, if I go back and listen to these episodes, it's kind of like a little, everything is like a time capsule. I go like, oh, what was I going through at that very time? Like, where was I working at that time? Who were my closest people in my life? All that kind of stuff. I can go back and find since 2017, like it's called evolving with Corey Castle because like you're evolving. You're watching me evolve. Like you're listening to me become a different version of me that I constantly want to evolve.
You know? Yeah. No, I think that's great, Corey, and that's a testament to you to have this podcast for seven plus years now. It's hard. It's hard to keep up with something. There are weeks that you don't want to do it. There are times that you want to just be like, I'll take a week off. Maybe I'll take a month off. Maybe I'll recharge. But it's all about the consistency. It's all about continuing keeping it going. And you never know. Like one day it could just blow up. The right people see it. The right thing is said. And all of a sudden, one video, one thing goes viral. And now all of a sudden, it from whatever subscribers you got, it pops off. And it just triples, quadruples, and continues to go from there. Then it's a landslide. So that's what it is, man. It's all about that consistency.
It's way easier to be discouraged than to be encouraged.
Of course.
And I think that's a lot of the reasons why people don't get started. That's why people don't, whatever's the easiest thing we want to go with.
It's very easy. It's very easy to sit on the couch and do nothing. It's very easy to play video games. It's very easy to watch a movie or a TV show. It's hard to put yourself out there. I say this, a lot of my friends say this to me a lot, and because there are times in wrestling, and this, Corey, this is doing a podcast, doing wrestling, you get it. There are times when you're like, is it even worth doing? Is it even worth getting up and going to the town or doing this, it kind of gets like monotonous and you're like, but then I remember talking to one of my friends a few months back and he's like, dude, me and a couple of my buddies, we always talk about how jealous of you we are. Like, cause you're actually like going out and trying to do something while we just go to our 9-to-5 job and, drink on the weekends. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, they're just bored. They're like, it gets boring after a while. When you hit your 30s, it's like, okay, I don't want to just do the 9-to-5. I don't want to just do the Friday, Saturday, Sunday fun day, then do it all again the next week. And it just becomes like, what else am I doing? Like, am I just known to be a guy that just goes to the bars and that's it? Like, that's what I work my whole week for. So he said that to me and it really hit me because I was like, because it was a time where I was like, I don't even know anymore. Like, is wrestling even worth it? Like, it seems like it's plateauing and all that. But then when I heard that, I was just like, wow, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that people are like, I'm jealous of what you're doing. Not saying we're only happy and we only follow you when like cool things happen. Like, we're jealous of like the journey you're doing. Like, that's cool to us that you're actually trying to pursue a dream.
I love it. Those are the good kind of friends who will share that kind of stuff with you. I mean,
yeah,
other friend, like some people have friends that are filled with like some envy, being healthy version of jealous versus like an envy versus versus like resenting you for.
Yeah. It's like we are. Yeah, exactly. And that's a great way to put it. It's like a healthy jealousy where it's like we are envious. Like we wish we could have the confidence to put ourselves out there more. We wish we could have that, but we're happy for you doing it, but we wish we could do it too. And so that was cool to hear.
We start calling the jelly school kids start calling them greenhorns. These greenhorns, green with envy.
Green with envy.
All right, I got to take these off now.
Oh, you're not cut out for it, man. Come on. Corey, you share a name with a guy who sings sunglasses at night.
Oh, yeah.
You could have.
I think he's one of those Corey folks.
Is he? I don't think so.
Famous Corey seem to be Corey.
No, I think I'm looking it up right now. I'm pretty sure Corey Hart is. Oh no, you're right. It is Corey. Okay, I stand corrected.
Yeah. Get out of here with all these Corys with an E in them.
just an extra layer that's not needed. It's not needed.
It's unnecessary. So we can kind of go into both of our journeys and stuff on this.
Yeah, for sure.
We kind of talk about this, just kind of like how we'd get there. Like if we're at a show, we're going to sit there and have these kind of conversations, mm-hmm. right? This is what's going to happen. But I was going to ask, like, where'd you break in? Who trained you?
Yeah. Kind of so I just kind of fell into pro wrestling. You know, I went to a show one day. Actually, I was listening to Busted Open Radio one day back in 2019. I think Enzo was on. And he was just talking about, you know, himself. He was talking about Big Cass. It was a time where Big Cass was going through a few troubles and was like kind of getting right. better.
Peer pressure.
Was talking about that. Yep. Right back at it. Pull you right back in. So he was talking about it. And he's like, oh, you know, tonight I actually have a show outside of, I was living in Maryland at the time. I have a show outside of Baltimore. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, my wife actually was dog sitting for a friend that night. And I'm like, I had nothing else to do. It was a Friday. And I'm just like, okay, you know, I haven't gone to an independent wrestling show at that point in like 5 years. So I'm like, why not? You know, I've always been a big fan of Enzo. I'd love to meet him. So I'm going to go check it out. So I went and I kind of just stood there in the back and people kept coming up to me and asking me, you know, are you a worker? Are you a worker? Who are you? I'm like, I'm just Ben. Like, I'm just here watching the show. Because, you know, because obviously Enzo was there, so people looked like, you know, I looked quick and was like, is that Big Cass? Oh, wait, no, it's not. So I was just watching it. And then all of a sudden, you know, and then all of a sudden Gilbert actually comes up to me. And he was just like, he's like, man, you should get into this. You should try this. Like, I got to introduce you to Jimmy. And I'm like, I don't know who Jimmy is. And he's like, okay, sure, I'll go meet Jimmy. And it was James Ellsworth. So he introduced me to Jimmy Ellsworth.
Jimmy Dream.
Yep, you got it. Yeah. So I started talking to Ellsworth. He got his number, and he, him, and I think you, do you know Nick Sickened as well? You know Sickened, right?
I know. Yeah, I know.
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was trained. Yep, Skull. Yep, you got it. Yeah. So then I was trained. I was trained by Nick. I was trained by Ellsworth, and then it kind of just, you know, went from there. I owe a lot of my first few years to those two and continued success. You know, Nick taught me a lot of the basics, a lot of the moves, how to do things safely. Jimmy
strange,
taught me,
man,
a lot
because
of...
I normally Nick's students go with him to a lot of places, so you wind up seeing, like, that's why, like, yeah. I didn't see you in that group of people.
It was a little different with me, where, cause like I was Nick's student, but also I went to a lot of places with Jimmy. So okay. I was really riding around with him more. So
okay.
I kind of consider myself, like Jimmy's student as well. So, okay. That's kind of the, all right, she's being, so she's going to join us. This is Stevie. So from there, yeah, it was just, you know, riding the roads with Ellsworth, going around, and it's been, you know, it's been a hell of a ride. Just done some really, really cool things. Going to, you know, the Tennessee loops, Memphis. You know, what's cool though is what I like. He says it too. He's like, you got to go to some of like the real bad shows. You got to go to some of the bad, like real carny, crappy shows, so you can really appreciate this. And actually, that's one thing, Corey. That
delusions are so good there.
Yes. And oh, I know. It's the best. Yeah.
The delusion that people have is so entertaining.
And that's where you can, like, you know, you almost, you get a more of an appreciation for it. You know, the appreciation for the good places. And I think everybody should do that. You know, it's unfortunate when I see a lot of people, you know, And I'm not hating the player. I'm hating the game at this point. But it's unfortunate when I don't see people work the indies and they're just shoehorned right into AEW or WWE. I've seen it a bunch. You don't get that appreciation for it. You're like, dude, wait until you see the other side of this. Wait until you see 90% of the other side, because it can get pretty bad. So don't think that, please, the grass ain't greener on the other side, my friend. So really for 5 years, yeah, just been doing that. Had a couple of like good opportunities, good shots, good met some people. The craziest thing is like sharing, and you know this, like sharing locker rooms of people you grew up watching.
Oh yeah,
where it's like I can't believe I'm on the same card as Jerry Lawler. You know, I can't believe I'm on the same card as the Hardys. Like this is just weird. Like it's just I'm in the locker room with. I'm technically a peer, you know. Like I'm just like sitting in a locker room with them on the same show on a card with my name on it next to one of them, which is just it's just wild. It's wild to me.
I do have like a little bit of like a zoom back from that a little bit on like when I'm on cards with like name people sometimes like. I'm just exchangeable other indie guy that they met at a show. So mm-hmm. I don't do big of a deal out of going and like,
no, no. Yeah.
Like, so I think that eventually wins me more points by not having the mark out moments. And
absolutely. Like you want to be professional. Cause like you said, right. Like, you know, you want to be considered like a peer, right? You want to be considered a worker and professional. But I always say, like, I think the silliest thing in wrestling is like, oh, don't take pictures with names. I think that's stupid. To me, I think it's dumb. It's like, and Ellsworth said that to me actually, and he's somebody that hates people that like are like marks in front of names and all that. But he's like, no, always take the picture. He's like, just don't be a dick about it. You know, if you can tell they don't want to do it, don't do it. But if they're, you know, open and friendly, ask them for a picture. Like, take the picture. Don't take that. He's like, he always said like, he thinks that's the lamest, like, old school like thing, and he's pretty old school, but he always said that is the lamest like thing that I don't know old school wrestlers like made a thing, like it's just don't take the picture. He's like, that's silly.
When I broke in, being a mark was a problem.
Like, yeah,
if you were in the business and you were a mark, you were automatically shamed for it.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember thinking like when you start a band, you don't automatically hate every other band that ever existed.
Yeah, I know. Why
do we do this in wrestling? I don't get it.
No. And I get like, you don't want to be like the guy showing up, and I get like, you don't want to be walking around with the shirts on all the time, and you don't want to be the guy like walking in and like you're playing like, you know, entrance musics, or you're asking the mark type questions to names, you know, all the kind of questions like who's your favorite wrestler, who's your favorite person that you've worked with, you know, like all that type of stuff. That gets annoying. I get that, you know, but like
being a mark versus being like a dorky.
Yeah, like being a dork, exactly. Yeah. All right, let me get her down. All right, Stevie, there you go.
Nice to meet you, Stevie.
Yeah. So no, I think we're on the same page there, where it's like you don't want to be a dork. You don't want to be going around asking like I compare it like to the Chris Farley show. Remember that, like that skit on SNL?
Yeah. Remember when you were in the Beatles?
Remember when you were in the Beatles? Yeah. It's like you shouldn't be on a show asking like. You know, I always see it happen to Ellsworth. It's like, what was it like working with Carmella? And he's like, don't ask me that. And he's like, this isn't like a convention at a merch table or something. Ask that at a merch table. Be a fan and you can ask that and he'll gladly answer. It's like, you don't need to ask me that. Like when we're in the locker room, ask me like, hey, can you critique my match? Or ask me, hey, can you watch my match? Or hey, what should I do at this point in the match? He's like, that's what he likes to hear. He doesn't want to hear you ask questions about what was it like to work with Dean Ambrose? What was it like to work with Carmella? It's not, you don't do that. But again, you appreciate him and take the picture with them and you respect him. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Remember when you said the love that you make is equal to the love that you take?
Oh, the best.
Yes, is that true?
Stupid. Oh man, that's it. I mean that is like wrestling fans with tea though. Yeah. That's a question. I made a video about that.
I mean,
that
was exactly like right on brand with the way wrestling fans are.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've actually had fun with it. I did not ever expect to become one. Like I never knew that I'd be somebody that people like came up to me in the locker room and said that, like, they knew who I was or ever watched anything I ever did and, like, talked to me about stuff I did. I'm like, most of the stuff that, like, I'm most famous for in wrestling is stuff I did when I was a kid. So I, of course, don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
Like, I was 17, 18 years old. I'm 40 now. I don't remember that kind of stuff. So when people say, like, oh, it's such an honor to be in the ring with you, I watched all your stuff from 2003. I'm like, I get it. I'm glad you're honored. I hope we have some fun together. But, like, this is also kind of neat for me for you to have said something like that.
Yeah, that is cool. That is cool. I mean, that's really cool. And I get it. I get it now too. It's like I was at, like, WrestleCade, and I actually had a random fan come up to me and be like, dude, your videos are so funny. And I'm like, I don't have like 50, 60,000 followers. You know, I got almost six, but, like, I'm like, that was just cool to be like, oh, wow. And, like, caught me off guard. Like, I wasn't ready for it. I was like, what the hell? I'm like, oh, thanks. I didn't even think, know like how to answer it. I was kind of like, are you talking to me? Oh, you are talking to me.
You know, it's interesting, and I've recently been having this thought. I'm also a server. Like, I work at Applebee's, right? And we make most of our money off tips.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, like, we get paid like one shitty, like, whatever, like less than $3 an hour, but then we make a lot of our money off of tips. What if we started applying that to wrestling? Like, wrestling fans, like, they have to know that we get paid such shit to do
some people think we get paid a good amount of money.
They must think that we're millionaires, because, like, I think when I was a kid and I used to go to shows, I used to think those dudes were all like celebrities.
Yeah,
or I used to always think those dudes were all like majorly paid, but, like, it's more like it's like kind of like being in a cover band, except for people in cover bands get respected more than we do.
Exactly. I
agree. People go, oh my God, you're so talented the way you play those notes that somebody else wrote. And what we do is not talent. It's phony. We're just phonies.
Which is hysterical, right? Cause it's like, it really is an art form. It really is. Mm-hmm. So it's wild.
The immense amount of sacrifices that have gone into every piece of the journey.
Yeah. Absolutely. Corey, can you give me 1 second? I'm really sorry. I got to figure out what's going on with these two.
You're going nuts.
Yeah, I got to figure this out. I'll be right back.
I had this really cool story, and I was maybe I was 16 or 17. And I was doing ring crew at CZW, and somebody who I was like really, really a big fan of, and I was kind of a mark for them. But I didn't like do marquee out questions and shit like that. The bleachers needed to be separated, and we to like have a couple people help us separate them. The guy, his name was Doomsday Danny Rose, and he was so energetic.
What a name. That's
the
a great
coolest
name.
He had the coolest promos. He always he had this cool way about him. He always did this thing with his hands. He was freaking cool.
Yeah.
And one of the ring crew guys, Eugene, he was like, all right, we gotta move that set of bleachers a little bit over that way. And he's like, we definitely have to keep them separated. And as we're pulling them at the exact same time, Doomsday Danny Rose and myself both said, you got to keep them separated. I was like, well, that's pretty neat. And that's cool that you remember that though.
See, that's a cool story. Cause like, it's like a little thing. No, it's not like something WWE related or AEW related or anything like that. You know, it's not a perfect, like something like WCW, you know, it's something that you like distinctly remember. You know, from an indie wrestling show. That's cool.
Dude, I'm the funny stuff, like for like veterans and whatever else, like people who I like looked up to as a kid. Like I was in high school when I was going to shows and I was training to be a wrestler and I was like going to these shows and doing ring crew and set up and break down on everything. But like, I got this like education through like getting to meet veterans and like being able to like kind of pick their brains, but not in a marky out way, because being a mark, like I'm going to say this was probably 2000, 2001, an era where you can't be a mark. Like it's not an option. And my trainers just at the time, I remember them like sitting me down and being like, this is the way it's got to go. Don't ask this. Don't be this way. Don't ask that. Don't make this joke. Don't make that joke. Like it was like very, very old school, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember this, there's this guy named Lord Everett DeVore. And I was telling him that I was getting trained at the school and he was like, okay, cool. Thanks for coming out. Like he said, thanks for coming out to me. Like I was a fan who had purchased a ticket. I was happy to see. And I was like, no, I'm just. And then like I saw him maybe 30 minutes later and he went, oh, thanks for coming out. And he gave me a little weak fish handshake.
Oh my God. Oh.
I was like, oh, these are the guys. And
man,
I see that in some of the videos you put out about like the vets. Yeah. Who are trying to
let me talk about those for a second, because I've gotten the majority of the feedback I've gotten has been very positive, like by and large. Like when I started putting these out, I was thinking like, and folks, if you haven't seen it, it's I try to do like a parody of, in you might be familiar with like a Jack Vaughn likes to do a lot of the more in-ring type like indie spot stuff. I do a lot of like the backstage kind of political-ish type parody of characters.
That's you'll find the big mustache, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like so I do more of like the backstage characters you'll find in wrestling and the tropes that we all hear about. I always say, if you can't laugh at yourself, then you shouldn't be in wrestling. If you can't look at something like the things that I put out, where I'm making fun of, you know, shindy promoters, I'm making fun of what things shit promoters say, that every single one of us, if you spend 35 minutes in the business, know what they say, you know a lot of all this stuff, and it's fun, it's all in good fun. Like I was putting here's a perfect example, and I like this guy a lot because he got the joke. I found out I was going to be in a battle royal in Memphis, and guys, if you're not in wrestling, gals, if you're not in wrestling, hear it from wrestlers. Nobody really wants to be in a battle royal. I'm sorry if I'm pulling the curtain back.
If you're brand new,
but if you're traveling to a place and you find out you're in a battle royal, you're like, especially the battle royals in the main event. So I made the video, like the next day I made the video about like what promoters think we want to hear. Of course, think we're going to react when we hear we're in a battle royal.
I saw that one.
And yeah, I saw that one. Funny, Dustin Starr from Memphis messaged me with crying emojis. Says, "I feel like I feel triggered. All right, I think I'm triggered." And because he got it, he gets it. You know, he's a wrestler too, so he laughed at it. And I'm like, "Hey man, you know it's all in good fun." He goes, "No, I know. I get it. We all have fun with it." And it's a, you know, and that's what it's supposed to be. A lot of the things that I make fun of that wrestlers do, I've been guilty of too. We've all been guilty of it. And I say that to people. It's like some of these things, like I made fun of, you know, shitty big men in wrestling that come in and like, I'm not going to bump for anyone tonight. Like I'm making fun of like, you know, my own gimmick. I'm making fun of people. I'm making fun of myself as well. You know, thinking you're a hot shot because you got a big booking or you're on AEW Dark. There was a point where I thought I was a little bit too much of a hot shot and thinking you're going to get signed and all that. Yeah, you think that. And I'm making fun of myself. I'm just as guilty as some of the things that I make fun of as everybody else. So you got to be able to laugh at it. You got to be able to laugh. Some people don't like it.
Sure.
Some people will be like, oh, you did. It's going to get you heat, brother. It's going to get you heat. Give me a break with the wrestling heat. I don't care about the wrestling heat. Bullshit. Bullshit. Nothing matters less than fucking wrestling heat. So, like,
what are you going to do? Not book me?
You're not going to book me? Oh, you don't want to work with me, brother? Oh, damn. Too bad. I don't get to work with you in front of 10 people in fucking
bullshit
Ohio. So, like, FOMO. I mean, it's so silly to me. It's like wrestling heat isn't real. It's not real heat, dude. Look what we're fighting about right now. We're not fighting about real things. We're not fighting about real. Like, come on, let's have fun. That's supposed to be fun. Why are we taking it so serious? Why we take so? But again, like I said, by and large, it's been positive reaction. It's just some people are a little like finicky about it and like, I think you're exposing the business. What am I exposing? We see this shit every day. Everybody knows this.
You can find anything that exposes the business way more than anything you've
done.
Don't give me
exposing the business shit. Don't give me that.
You're exposing individuals in the business who don't want to be exposed.
I see them, and there's nothing against these guys, but then I see the same people wearing a Young Buck shirt. Like, you want to talk about exposing the business? Like, don't say I'm doing it. You know, so it's people are saying they pick and choose what they like, but like I said, it's cherry picking
so hard. I'll take a little bit of that. I'll take a little bit of that, but no, yeah, you keep that.
Yeah. But that's the good thing about wrestling, right, Corey? It's good. It's good because there is a subjectivity to it. And like, you don't have to like everything. I'll be the first to say it. Like, I'm not a fan of like the Japanese or Lucha Libre style. I am by and large an American professional wrestling fan. It doesn't mean I have any disrespect towards those styles. It's just not for me. I just like characters. I didn't get into wrestling because of the wrestling. I didn't care about the actual.
Jose, can you see?
What's that?
I said, Jose, can you see? You're an American wrestler.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, but seriously, like, I mean, that is like how I got into it. Like, I got into it because I was characters. I wasn't clamoring over the TV matches. I wanted to see The Rock and Stone Cold do promos. I wanted to see Diamond Dallas Page coming in from the crowd. I wanted to see Sting coming down from the rafters. I wasn't there to watch like, and nothing against, but I didn't care as much about like the Dean Malenko versus Rey Mysterio matches. Like, I think they're great at what they do.
Well, yeah.
Like, it wasn't my thing.
I think at a certain point, smart marks got the word work rate in their heads, like as if work rate was more important than entertainment rate. And there's a balance in that. There's a balance in that.
Of course.
It's tough to find it. It's really tough to find it. And I mean, speaking for myself, I haven't all the way found it.
It's not easy. Not everybody gets it.
Evolving process.
Yeah, like you gotta like let's take one of the like greatest work rate wrestlers of all time right now, Bryan Danielson, right? Mm-hmm. Bryan Danielson obviously is one of the greatest technical wrestlers of all time, like already, and he had that like, you know, that niche audience that really loved what he did, but he didn't start gaining the real traction until he mixed in the character. Until he started doing the yes, and now he's getting over with people. But now he can mix in, oh, now my work rate's going to really get over with people because they love my character. So it's like he perfectly meshed it. You can think of Bret Hart who meshed it together. You know,
Eddie Guerrero was the best.
Eddie Guerrero, exactly. Once Eddie Guerrero started getting a character, Chris Jericho, you know, those guys, big high work rates, but they had charisma and a character behind it. Unfortunately, you have guys like, unfortunately, you'll have like a Dean Malenko who just, he never really got over as that character. But he's amazing. He's amazing. And his matches are incredible as a technical wrestler. But then he started getting more of a personality when he got into WWE and they gave him a little bit more.
When he put Lita in the,
exactly. Yes.
In the cloverleaf.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. See, and then that's what people remember. You don't remember the 25 minute match with Psychosis or something.
Right.
You don't remember that. Right. You remember like, oh, I remember when Lita led him on and he got beat up by the Hardys in a hotel room. Like, that's what people remember from him. And that's what I remember. That's the most memorable thing Dean Malenko did to me. That's good because that's what you want. You want character. You got to mesh the work rate in with the character.
Moments.
Yes, moments. Wrestling, I always say to people, like, wrestling can be so simple. It can be so simple. Really, the crowd just wants to be involved. They want to be involved, and they want to be able to follow what's going on. like American crowds, they can't follow the Lucha Libre as well as they can, as like people in Mexico, where it's more of an art form. No, they're not. That's not what they're looking for. They want simple things. I especially when people do moves, I'm like, what are the moves that everybody remembers? What are the moves that people remember, things that they can do? To be honest, like, they shouldn't do them, but they do. Like, everyone's like, oh, my brother used to power bomb me. Oh, my cousins used to choke slam me. No one says, oh, my brother used to do a Canadian destroyer to me. Because they can't, because you can't do it. They couldn't do it.
So I was in a fight. I threw 17 insecurities in that fight.
Yeah, like, see, nobody, like, that's the thing. Like, nobody's remembering that. They're just remembering like the simple stuff and keeping it simple. And they want to be involved, so they want to do. Everyone's like, oh, look how over LA Knight is. It's because he has the yeah thing, and he gets people involved, and people want to be part of the show. Seth Rollins' theme song, Cody's Whoa. You know, they want to be part of it, and that's the thing a lot of people miss. It's like, dude, don't try to get over with the boys in the back. Get over with the crowd. They want to chant something. They want to say something. They want you to interact with them in some way and get them into it. And that's what gets people over. You look at all throughout history, all the people that have been the most over, it's because they got the crowd behind them. They got the crowd into it as well and interacted with them. Not just, I'm going to go out and have a 25-minute match and hopefully they cheer for me. They'll do the oohs and ahs. But they're not gonna remember all the moves you do in a 20-25 minute match. They're gonna remember the moments, I mean, like you said.
There's gotta be time inside of that. Because things like, I guess what work rate is considered now is go, 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 go. And then everything gets forgotten about. None of it means anything.
Yeah.
Not none of it means anything, but none of it means as much as if it took your time. And
exactly.
Let it register, because American wrestling fans aren't all on the internet, aren't all trading tapes. I mean, I get trading tapes aren't a thing anymore, but
you know, I know what you mean. They're not on, they're not, everyone's on Reddit. Not everyone's on Twitter. Not everyone's on the message boards. Not very few people are on Cage Match. Like they're not on there. Like, and that the perfect example is like when CM Punk came back to WWE and he had the, you know, he said, like, oh, you can't be punching people in 2000, and it's 2023, and you can't be, and nobody reacted, and people like started to make fun of him, and they started to say like, oh, look, he's not even that over. It's like, no, that's not good for AEW. You want people to react. They have no idea what CM Punk is talking about. So it's like
majority of those fans don't watch that program, don't know a thing, don't read the internet.
And they're not on the other. All they know is they see CM Punk and they're like, oh, that guy used to be here 7 years ago or 9 years ago, whatever it was.
Right.
It's like, I remember him 9 years ago when he was here. Like that's, and they're like, wonder what he's been up to. that's what they're saying.
Well, I think that, what was it? Rob Van Dam, he said like when, he was signed to TNA and he would always have fans come up to him and be like, when are you going to be back in wrestling? And he's like, yeah, I'm on wrestling every week. Like, but
yeah, it's, but that's anything
but, and that's WWE, because that's what pro wrestling is to them.
That's exactly what pro wrestling is. And I forgot who said it to me. I think it was a buddy of mine, Wrecking Ball Ligursky, who said to me, he's like, you know what the two promotions are in the United States? And I'm like, what is it? Yeah, I'm like, what are the two most popular promotions in the United States? And I'm like, WWE and AEW. Goes, no, WWE and not WWE. and he's right, because that's what people say. It's like, is that WWE? No, it's like what I said, like Kleenex. You don't say tissues. You say, I can grab me a Kleenex. You know, it's like Kleenex and every other brand of tissue. It's WWE and every other brand of wrestling.
You either hand me a Band-Aid or you hand me an adhesive strip.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You don't say, can I have an adhesive strip? You say, can I have a Band-Aid? You know, and like, they're like, oh, look, a lot of people say, oh, it's WWF. You know, they still say that. And yeah, so that's
been changed for 23 years now.
Exactly. But that's just that, that's how people are. And that's because people aren't on they don't follow it on the internet. There's so much wrestling. If you think even wrestling fans, like I can't watch all this wrestling. I'd be divorced. I'd have no life. If I watched every bit of wrestling that's on TV every week, I couldn't do it. So I get why people get burnt out by it. I get it. There's so much.
I'm gonna just ask you a few more things, and then I'm gonna see you off in the sunset with a hot dog and a handshake, and then we can
wrap them up. All right. Go ahead.
So something that I guess that's sort of important to me is like I told you about the consistency and me wanting to have these conversations and having them be on the record and having them be kind of like a time capsule in life for me.
Yeah.
you know, these conversations are kind of outliving us. So we'll always be able to listen back to this, like, you know, unless that solar storm happens and we lose the internet and all these things go away. But the recording is going to outlive us.
Yeah.
With that being said, I like to say things on the record. I want to say now just how much I'm psyched about how we've connected. And I want to reach out and let you know if you ever need a resource for anything, like even if it's just judgment free conversation, if it's just a friend that you need to talk to about stuff, if you have anything going on that you just need a vet's opinion on, I'm absolutely happy to take your calls, happy to talk to you about anything. I'm psyched about what the future of this relationship is, considering this is just our first conversation that we've ever had, really. So I'm psyched about the beginning of whatever this turns into. I'm excited about it, and I wanted to say that to you on the record, and then now switch that to ask you if you want to ask me anything that would be on the record.
Okay.
Or say anything to me on the record.
What continues to motivate you, Corey? Like, what is your motivation? And it doesn't have to be for wrestling, but it can be for this, or it can be for anything in life, really. What really is like your motivating factor?
I would probably say, and this sounds really kind of arrogant to say, but I look at my life and I go, if I wasn't me, I'd want to be me so bad. I'd probably hate me for it.
That's cool.
Like the version of me that I wanted to be as a kid growing up, I turned out to be cooler than that version of me that I wanted to be. And I want to do is continue to be a better, more evolved, more understanding, more inspiring version of me for me.
Yeah. That's, and you know, that's really cool. That is real. I really like, that's a great answer. Cause I always say that too. It's like, make the 10-year-old you proud, like, and always take a step back and think, like, you know, when you get down, when you get upset with this, you know, finicky business that it is, this BS business that it can be, you know,
so when you really pay for play real hard. It's pay for play so hard, and it's risk versus reward, and you're not getting rewarded as often as you're putting yourself out there.
No, exactly. And when that happens, when you just think, like, what would 8, 9, 10-year-old me be thinking right now? Like, I would think I'm the coolest person for doing this. 8-year-old me would love me, right? It would love 33-year-old me, and, you know, and say, you know, it'd be like, you're so cool for doing this. And then you think about it, it's like, you know what, do it for that inner child that you have. Do it for that kid. Do it for you when you were younger, because that's when you were so happy and you would be like, you would kill to be in a wrestling ring, you know, and now you do it and you take it for granted. You're like in front of fans and you're like, I just have another shot in, you know, Alabama or, you know, middle of Georgia, whatever. But it's like, you would have killed to do that when you were 10 years old. You would have, that was like everything to you. And you would have gave up everything.
Battle Royals, dude, I'll take them.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm 10 and I get to put on gear and like be in front of a group of fans, sign me up.
Exactly. So I'm similar with you, Corey. I like that answer, because you just think about that. Think about, like, dude, this is cool. Like, everything I've done is more than I ever thought I would do, is what I'll say.
There's the thing I started doing like 10 years ago where they say this is a battle royal, and they'll go, all right, everybody who's in the battle royal, go in this room. We're going to talk about it. And I'll go in that room and I won't talk to anybody. And then I'll fade away and then I'll not be in the battle royal.
I can't fade away, Corey.
You're too big to be able to fade away. But if there's,
I wish, sometimes I wish I could.
But I'll wind up like oh crap, I started taking my gear off and I totally forgot about the battle royal. Darn it. Gosh darn.
The old oh no, the show ended too early. We're throwing together a battle royal at the end. Carny trick.
Oh, I already took all my gear off. I'm not going out there in my jeans.
Whoops. Oh, my car started. Whoops. It's pulling out of the parking lot. I don't know what to do. So, what a carny business.
Another part of me talking about this outliving us and being the time capsule. I do a segment on here towards the end of every show where I say it's an audio time travel, right? Mm-hmm. So this audio, this video, this podcast, I say audio because I started the show and it was just audio and not video too, but this recording is outliving us, right? So the people who care about you the most, your wife, 10 years from now, in 2044, is going to come across this recording. Your family, the people who care about you the very most, are stumbling across this audio and listen to a timestamp version of Ben Bishop. What is the message going directly to them from this 2024?
I mean, the number one thing is, I got to say, and I'm very, very fortunate to have the support system that I have, especially with my wife, who, you know, people in your life have to make sacrifices. If you want to be a pro wrestler, you're going on the road. You got to go train. You got to go, you know, eat late nights, early mornings, you know, they got to take care of dogs, kids, whatever it may be. We don't have kids. We have dogs, you know? So and my family, you know, sharing posts, being proud of me, you know, doing something that's silly, right? Like that they might have to answer questions about, where it's like, why is Ben doing this? Why is Ben? I thought Ben went to college. I thought Ben, is he doing this full time? This seems kind of silly, which they've gotten those questions before from people, you know, but they just say, you know, he's trying to chase a dream. And I want to, it's a simple, generic thing to say, but I just have to say to every single one of them, my family, my wife, even the vast majority of my friends, thank you all, buying merch, coming to shows, supporting, like, sharing, engaging in content, you know, not ever saying to me like, dude, this is so stupid. Like, why are you doing this? This is so stupid. You know, not having that in their vocabulary, just saying, we know you've loved this ever since you were 8, 9 years old. We know. And we've always said to you, do it. And I finally did. And I finally stopped saying, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. I'm too old. I had too many injuries playing basketball. You know, I had this, that, and the other. And I finally said, you know what? Do it for the 10-year-old kid. And I did it for that kid. And I couldn't do it without the support. And every single person, I couldn't say how much I appreciate it. That's the thing. I couldn't say it right now. It's just I hope they know that I appreciate every single one of them.
I hope if your family's listening, if this is the first time you checked out Evolving with Corey Castle, you check out every episode that follows this and every episode before this. This is probably not going to be the last time Ben's on the show. We're going to probably do another one. So listen to this one and then maybe seek that one out too. If it's 10 years in the future, it's probably happened already. So, hypothetically, I like to say that I've gifted you this show. This is the first episode of your new podcast, Evolving with Ben Bishop, in a very Jerry Springer's final thought type way. Just the most valuable takeaways, wrap them up in a pretty bow, and send the folks happy, send the folks home happy with a message for becoming a better version of themselves. What would you say to them to inspire them?
What would I say to inspire them? I mean, I think the number one thing is don't let inner doubts dictate your life. If you want to follow a dream, if you want to do something, go out and do it, because you never want to play. You never want to have the hindsight. Whatever that may be, do you want to start a business? Do you want to be a stand-up comedian? Do you want to be a musician? You know, you listen to a lot of people. It's all about eating shit for a few years, but you got to just start and do it, and you got to do it, and you never do it. Never do anything just being like, I want to do this to try to get rich. Because if you do that, it ain't ever gonna happen. Do it because you enjoy it, because it makes you happy. Because I always say, I get to scratch a creative itch that I think everybody should scratch, that creative itch. So ignore the self-doubts, go out, do what you love, do what you want to do, you know, make sure you're obviously, you know, that family obligations, you're taking care of all that stuff. But, you know, you got to look out for number one, which is you, and go out and try to scratch that creative itch and have fun. You only live one life. Have fun with it. You don't want to look back when you're, you know, 50, 60 years old and say, I could have done this. You want to say, hey, I did it. And hey, if you never make it big, you know what? You did it. And you try.
No regrets.
You can always, no regrets. And you can always just pat yourself on the back and say, I gave it the old college try.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're definitely somebody who's inspiring people, man. And I appreciate seeing that. And I'm glad to just kind of be on the ground floor of it. And I want to see where it heads. And I'm grateful for you for paying me the effort, you know, paying me the currency of your effort and your time here today. And anybody who checked out the show, if this is your first time checking out the show, man, check out all the other episodes. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, comment. Dude, make sure, you know, if you exist, let me know you exist for real. If you've actually sat through this, man, I appreciate you so much. And last thing, Ben, do you do any impressions?
I had my indie promoter impression. I can't. It put me on the spot now. Why do you have one? I want to hear you.
No.
You don't have any. You know, it's funny when I do my indie promoter voice, a lot of people like will say to me, it's like, that sounds like Adam Sandler, like doing the Billy Madison voice. But now I'm on the spot. I don't even know if I can, you know, when you do the, you're going to be a promoter. Look at that. Look at that. You think you're over? Oh. Yeah, so I don't know. That's kind of like, I did that voice and people are like, it sounds like Adam Sandler and Billy Madison. I'm like, well, if it does, it does.
Snooty Magazine Day.
Snooty Magazine. You're gonna give the company to Carl? Oh, not Carl. Eric
pregnant.
Eric's a bad man. He's a bad man.
So I always just have, in whatever your best impression is, I always have the guests say, the way we close out the show, say, be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
Be fun, have safe, keep evolving. All right. Be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. I hope everybody has a great night. Have a great week. Happy birthday whenever that comes around. Be kinder to yourself. Be kinder to others. Be fun. Have safe. Keep evolving.